Too Aware. We are dedicated to communicating information that inspires your positive growth and change. Are you interested in a peaceful planet? Are you interested in optimal health? Are you living with purpose? Are you enjoying your life? We realize each person can make a difference, and our mission is to empower your awareness. The choices that you make in every moment shape your life, and we encourage you to realize that you have your own answers and to always listen to your own truth. We invite you to stay aware. Hello, welcome to the Aware Show. This is Lisa Garr. So how does someone go from weighing 450 pounds with over 13 obesity-related illnesses, including diabetic neuropathy and heart arrhythmias and, oh my goodness, it goes on, to losing 215 pounds? Now this is like two people and becoming a motivational speaker within a 3-year window without surgery. This is called willpower, folks, but it's more than that. This is a man on a mission, often called a man on fire, also known as Mark Eisenhart. And you can remember his last name because it's Eyes and Heart. I've watched your videos. Welcome to the show. Thanks for being here.
Lisa, thanks so much for having me on the show. Thank you.
You are a man on a mission.
Well, you know, I think I have a message that really meets people where they are. It's a message that needs to be heard. We've got a real problem in this country with our relationship with food and with eating, with body image, with self-esteem, and especially with childhood obesity. And don't even get me started on GMO foods and all that. That's a whole other can of worms.
That's another show.
Yeah. Yes. It is another show.
Yeah,
it is.
Full show. And so how did you get to the place of being 450 pounds? That's quite.
It is. So it was a process. I've been in excellent shape at different times in my life. I was an athlete in high school and college and played for the Portland Raiders in the minor leagues and also a weekend warrior. I was a medic firefighter. I was decorated twice with a Medal of Valor and a Community Service Award for Heroism up in Portland. I worked for Tuolumne Valley Fire and Rescue. But I struggled with maintaining my ideal weight. I struggled with an eating disorder, what we would call yo-yoing. Mm. I wasn't in control of my life, Lisa. My eating disorder was in control of my life. So in my late 30s, things really started to unravel and spiral out of control. PTSD had sunk its teeth into me, post-traumatic stress disorder. All those years of working for the largest fire protection district in the state of Oregon, I did my externship in the Bronx in New York City. I worked at the Massachusetts General Hospital, a level one trauma center. All those years of not dealing with, you know, whatever was thrown at me. And, of course, the standard American diet. And next thing you know, I'm at death's door in my or knocking on death's door in my late 30s.
It can happen to anyone.
It can.
Yeah. And it doesn't necessarily have to be a massively tragic story, but it seeps. It's a very slow killer.
That's right.
Yes, absolutely. And once you, when you go to 5 pounds, it turns into 10. All of a sudden, it's 20, 30, and you lose control.
That's right.
And looking at that daunting task of losing 50 pounds seems so daunting, but it's not. I mean, as you have experienced, right. You've chunked it down. And I love that you're just a normal person. You're an everyday person. You haven't been through, an extraordinary story, but you're – now you have this mission. So how did you turn it around? What was the turning point for you? What was the pinnacle?
Well, ironically, the catalyst for me for the turnaround was it was very strange how this whole thing played out. My dad was diagnosed with advanced stage cancer. So it was actually the experience of watching my dad beat cancer to die of liver disease, because my dad was my best friend, my hero. I refer to him as my true north, Lisa, because he was an extraordinary man, and I had an extraordinary relationship with him. So when as a witness to that process, when I realized what was happening to him, what I did was I took a good hard look at what was going on in my life, because his weight was cut in half from 210 pounds down to 105 pounds.
When he had cancer?
When he had cancer, right.
And so how he beat the cancer, what type of cancer did he have?
He had cancer in his throat, in his larynx, advanced stage, very aggressive course of chemo and radiation was very successful. But what happened, Lisa, was a pre-existing diabetic cirrhosis, which we didn't even know he had, went into overdrive. Next thing you know, he's in sepsis and his body starts shutting down one system at a time. So we had this very short period of elation because the cancer was declared declared in remission and we could breathe. And then the doctors come back 2 weeks later and say, we have another problem
on our hands.
Yeah, we have another problem.
And
yeah.
That was the liver disease.
Yes, that was the liver disease, right.
And that's what eventually took him.
Yeah.
Well, and how long ago was that?
So he died on October 7th of 2009.
And prior to that, your relationship with him, you said, was fantastic.
My dad was absolutely one in a trillion. I could honestly say a million great things about him, Lisa, but it would fall miserably short. But what I will say is that man did not let me down one time in 40 years. If he said he was going to be somewhere, he was there. If he said he was going to do something, he did it without fail, without exception. His integrity was beyond measure. He was extraordinary.
My goodness. And are you carrying this mission out for him?
Well, I'm really glad you asked that, because after he died, I did what all good public safety professionals do. I just defaulted to crisis management programming to push through the initial shock and awe of the fact that my dad was gone and to be what I hoped would be a pillar of strength for my mom and my sister. And then after his services, I had a complete and total meltdown. And I turned to the one man who had not let me down one time in 40 years, and I said a prayer. And I said, Dad, I'm lost. I need your help. I need it now. I'm not living anymore. I'm dying. I'm not going to let you down.
At that point, what was your weight?
Oh, I weighed 455 pounds. But also, as you mentioned, all the comorbidity that you'd expect from that. I had diabetes. I had 90% loss of feeling in both feet from diabetic neuropathy, anxiety, depression, PTSD, and eating disorder. I had a 25% loss of hearing in my left ear, a 15% loss in my right. And I had an abdominal hernia the size of a bowling ball sticking out of the center of my abdomen because I'd had a hernia repair done and then developed this hernia. And because of the obesity and the size of my midsection, this thing just kept getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And, you know, I was not living. I had all that. I had irritable bowel syndrome, esophageal reflux disease. I had become completely nocturnal. I had sleep apnea. It was just brutal. I was not living. I was dying.
And at that one point, when you said that prayer and you had that moment, what did you do the next day?
Well, that's where the leap of faith comes in, right? Oh. The very next day, what I did was I raised the white flag, Lisa, frankly. I said, okay, that's it. I'm not going to do this. I'm not going to live this way anymore. It's only a matter of time before I don't have a choice and I have a massive heart attack and the decision's made for me. So I picked up the phone and I called my mom and I said, okay, I'm declaring this, that whatever it takes, I'm asking for help. I don't care what that looks like. I release my attachment to how that showed up for me. You know how it is. The universe will conspire to help you in whatever you intend to create. So when I said, okay, I'm ready. So next thing you know, I'm hospitalized. But, and that's what needed to happen, of course, back then. But I just set my intention that one way or another, I was going to get and stay healthy, and I was going to do it in a way that was sustainable, and not only drop that weight, not only eradicate those diseases, Lisa, but restore myself to the kind of vibrant health that I enjoyed while I was in my youth, or die trying. And I'm a guy that once I set my intention and my heart into something, nothing will stop me from doing that.
You think?
So, yeah, maybe, right?
Right.
Exactly.
So in that place where your family got you to a hospital,
right,
and you started to go through repair,
yeah,
I'm asking this because people, when they get to that bottom level,
right,
that bottom level, and they don't know where to turn the next 24 hours, 48,
yeah,
a week.
They're crucial.
Right.
They're crucial.
They're very crucial. So you turned to help from your family.
Right.
And you got intervention.
Yes, I did. And I think
medical help.
This is going to be hard for maybe some of the listeners to hear, but it's important that I share this. I was in that place where light goes to die, Lisa. I had barricaded myself inside my house, booby-trapped my windows and doors, was abusing drugs and alcohol, and actually considered never leaving again. Mm. And for 3 days, I had the business end of my dad's 45 with a round in the chamber and the hammer cocked up to my temple, trying to think of a reason not to squeeze the trigger. So I assure you, when you go into the emergency room and you tell them where you've been and what you were, it's a done deal, right? You don't have that choice anymore. So that's where I was. That's, you know, I would absolutely landed at death's door.
You were
so
suicidal.
The decisions after that for a certain time were made for me, but they needed to be.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I didn't trust myself anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And when I surrendered the gun and the key to the gun lockbox to the person that I gave it to, a close friend, I said, keep this from me until I'm got my head on straight because I don't trust myself anymore.
Well, at least you had the mental capacity to do that.
Yeah.
and then to get help. And so I interviewed someone yesterday who just had so much praises for the healthcare professionals that got her through it.
Yeah.
You too. You had people
Absolutely.
That got you through it.
Absolutely.
And God bless the people that do that.
Yes. They I agree.
Are there yeah. and they're helping every single day, regardless of how you treated them probably
yeah.
and how much resistance you probably gained.
Oh, I'm sure I did.
Gave them. So within 3 years, you lost 215.
Actually, no. No, within a year's time. The total transformation, oh. Lisa, took place. Understand that I made it my full-time job for 1 year. So what I essentially did was upon my discharge from the hospital, I created an immersion program to augment the partial hospitalization program that I was enrolled in. So in addition to all the things that I was doing as the ongoing outpatient work, mm-hmm. Which was a partial hospitalization program that met several times a week, I brought in things like meditation, Reiki, energy work, affirmative living, affirmative prayer, of course, incremental changes in my diet to include cleansing, detox, a plant-based whole foods diet, a vegan diet, which eventually became a raw vegan diet. So I created an immersion program that became my full-time job. And in 1 year without surgery, I eradicated all 20 states of disease and dropped from 455 down to 240 pounds.
By meditating and your food, by just your mind, your thoughts, and what you eat.
Yeah, probably the two things above all else, the most important, well, three things were the lifestyle changes, the changes in the diet, and the meditation. Absolutely. Integral at the core of that program. Absolutely.
What would you say was the biggest strength for you? Was it the food? Was it the meditation?
Well, they really were all, each in their own way, integral. But I'd say the meditation was the most important thing. I've said this many times in interviews, Lisa. The most important thing I did was what the Buddha did. I sat down in a chair and did absolutely nothing but breathe. And I got comfortable with being uncomfortable for the very first time in my life. Instead of springing out of that chair and engaging in some kind of behavior designed to sabotage me from whatever was going on that I didn't want to deal with. So when you develop that willingness to be still, and to get comfortable with being uncomfortable and not spring out of your chair, whether it's texting or video games or overeating, as it was in my case, binge eating or abusing drugs and alcohol, that's where the power comes. What I did, Lisa, was I got control over what was out of control in my life. And the more I did it, the better I got at it. And next thing you know, I'm quieting the mind and I'm laughing at behaviors and I'm thinking, you know, I was working at that time with a meditation teacher, so I would inventory what was going on in my consciousness, observing those thoughts. And I remember the very first time I shared that with him, and he looked at me and he smiled. He said, "Mark, don't believe everything you think."
So
and as I look back at that now, I'm thinking, wow. Right? The disease was here.
In your
head. In my head.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. That's what I was asking.
That's right. Yeah.
It is some of our biggest toxicity is right between
Absolutely.
Our ears. Yeah. And
oh,
I mean, it's actually more toxic than the GMOs and the other foods.
Well, because what springs from that, right, is a foundation of distortional beliefs. So I had a view of myself and my model of the world. And as I talk, so I work with now Tom Terwilliger. He's my achievement mentor. And one of the things we talked about in his mastermind program was the point of power came for me when I became lucid and sane enough and developed the willingness to look at that belief system and ask myself, what if I'm wrong? What if how I see myself, my view of the world, is just plain untrue?
What was
if
it?
It's wrong?
What was
it? You know, it was a series of distortional beliefs. I'm not good enough. I'm not handsome enough. I'm not healthy enough. I don't work hard enough, even when I'm in great shape. All those things that come from low self-esteem and, you know, body dysmorphic disorder. And I started, you know, deconstructing and dismantling all those beliefs. And I realized this whole foundation of how I see myself, my ego identity, it's all part of the disease process. It's crazy.
How many people do you think that now?
About themselves? A disproportionately small number of people, I suspect. Oh, about me. Oh, I misunderstood your question.
Sorry, had those disproportionate thoughts. How many do
you think
have that feeling right now? Based on your experience and who you speak with.
I misunderstood your question.
A bunch, right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. I would say so. Yeah, it takes a real I thought you meant, so it takes Well, it took me making it my full-time job to get to that level of discernment. So I suspect that a lot of people are, you know, like me, where I was back then, and would never even occur to not believe what they think, you know, is in their consciousness as being true.
That's why we have an obesity epidemic in this country.
That's right.
Is that type of stinking thinking?
I mean,
that's where we are, and that's why I love that you're a spokesperson for the opposite.
Right. Right.
Is to show that it is possible. You're an everyday person where you got in this trap, in this almost mental mind trap of thinking that got you into a place
Absolutely.
That was at death's door.
Yeah.
And your, you know, parent dying, of course, didn't help, but that happens too. It's also
sure.
something that's part of life. So if you can get out of what you got out of, mm-hmm. so can anyone listening.
Absolutely.
And what is your mission? I mean, you're not just talking in a small scale here, right?
That's right. Well, and so I want to address something you said a minute ago, and I talk about this in my book. I assure you, there is no greater prison than the confines of a diseased mind, because it goes where you go. Mm-hmm. And when your belief system is based on distortional thinking, and you are within those confines, that's not living. That's dying. That's hell. That's the hell of my own manifestation, and that went with me everywhere that I went along. So my mission now is chiefly a couple of things. I'm taking that same degree of intensity and that fortitude and that commitment and that resolve and using it to propel my career forward on all fronts. And I see that chiefly being in a couple different ways. As a spokesperson, especially for Warrior Force, because I'm doing this all on a plant-based whole foods diet. I'm no longer vegan, but I'm still on a plant-based whole foods diet.
We have to talk about that.
Right.
Here.
Yes. I'm a sponsored athlete, so I'm in the process now of working, as I said, with Tom Terwilliger, who is also a two-time Mr. Olympic contender, a former Mr. America, my personal trainer, Tracy Lynn Cowan, and I'm pushing for 7% body fat without anything illegal, without any steroids, without any catalysts, on a plant-based diet, going for the cover of Men's Health magazine. The intention, Lisa, is to show the American public how far one man can go from morbidly obese at death's door to vibrantly alive at 210 pounds at 7% body fat, eradicated all the diseases, hopefully to encourage and inspire them to take the American public to take a good hard look at themselves, at their health, at their diet, especially to prevent childhood obesity. But to say, if that trajectory doesn't inspire people and empower people, I'm not sure anything else is going to. So my hope is that it will.
And I mean, so the plant-based diet.
Right.
So you're at a live raw food 80% raw?
At one point, I was 80% raw.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I mean, that alone right there, the transformative power of a plant-based, especially raw diet, that's another show right there.
It's the Gerson therapy.
Yeah,
it's anything
exactly.
that has ever – I've interviewed several people who have healed and eradicated disease in their body with whole live
that's
foods,
right.
raw
yeah.
juicing, whatever it takes. But that is the extreme that does heal an illness, which is amazing.
I agree.
It is absolutely amazing. I mean, I have interviewed so many people that have said that.
Yeah.
And that does heal a disease. But in terms of maintenance and lifestyle
right.
and everyday food,
right.
it's a little extreme for some people.
It is. It is.
And from my personal experience as well. So how do you live now? What is your regular diet like now?
Well, I recently had a full panel of tests done. I'm so lucky and so blessed, Lisa, to have an incredible team of people that I work with. So, for
it's
example,
all about team.
It is. It takes a village to raise a child,
totally.
And I have a lot of support. So, Andrea Nakayama is my functional nutritionist. I work with her. Recently featured in Martha Stewart's Whole Living magazine. Joey Houston is my raw food chef. What that test showed is that raw vegan diet was integral for my transformation, my healing, but not suited long-term for my genotype.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm on an ovo-lacto-pescatarian diet now. Big fancy way
Ooh.
Of saying ovo, eggs, lacto, some dairy, in other words, goat cheese in my case, pescatarian, some wild-caught fish. So a plant-based whole foods diet that includes wild-caught fish, cage-free or free-range eggs, and then some goat cheese on occasion if I make a scramble.
And that's how you get your protein.
That's where I get my – well, now keep in mind I'm still getting plant-based proteins still in there too. In fact, Warrior Food has a better amino acid profile than whey, so I'm still getting from hemp, from rice, from spirulina, from chlorella, other plant-based proteins, but I'm augmenting that with some fish and some eggs.
Thank you. So someone's finally taken the proteins from the vegetables and put them into a powder.
Jameth Sheridan
Thank
is
you.
Brilliant. He's a visionary, and he's finally got it in a formula that is – and not only that, they have their own proprietary standard. It's stricter than organic. It's Truganic.
I love it. It's a Truganic.
Right.
Yeah, 100% Truganic.
Right.
That's great. So when you you're able to – because the muscles do need protein in order
Absolutely.
To build.
Yeah.
They need amino acids in order
That's
to
right.
repair.
That's right.
So this particular type of strain of amino acids provides that?
Absolutely. Better amino acid profile than whey protein. Okay. Absolutely.
Get your pens out, people. So your website is getempowerednow.com,
yes.
And that's I Am Powered Now.
Right.
What is the name of your book?
The book that will be published later this year is actually the first in a series of three books. The series is entitled Spirit in My Tears, and the first book is titled Leap of Faith, because really all this boils down to is that moment at 455 pounds when I'm lying at death's door and I've got no place to go, when I had to take a leap of faith, when I literally jumped trusting that the net would appear, that the universe would line up and the resources would line up for me to not only heal, but to literally become as a result of that transformation, to literally become a different person.
When you were in your flat, your house, locked up.
Yes.
How did you get out the front door? And when did you
I didn't leave for 3 weeks, Lisa. I didn't leave my house for 3 weeks.
I thought you said 3 days.
For 3 days I had the muzzle of the gun up to my head, but I didn't leave my house for 3 weeks. Understand something. I was living in a state of delusional paranoia. I was in a state of fear. I assure you, when you're in that mindset, you don't want to leave your house. You don't want to interact with anybody.
Right.
You know, it was probably a lot like a scene out of the movie A Beautiful Mind. My mind was broken, Lisa. Mm-hmm. You know, I was living in a state of pure fear.
I love that you talk about it in the past tense. Do you ever have glimpses of that ever in the present time?
Well, only if I'm working on my book. So I think to answer the question that I think you said,
truly
thank God,
past
no.
Tense.
Yes, mm-hmm. Absolutely. Right.
Good for you.
Gone. No, absolutely. I mean, I was declared a panel physician. I'm sorry. I was declared a miracle by an entire panel of physicians. So there hasn't been any times at which the demons have reared their heads or anything like that. No, because I'm still living the lifestyle.
That was a rough question.
Sorry about that. It's okay. No, I tripped on that. But because I've brought all those things, Lisa, that worked for me.
No, you didn't trip on it. You did great.
Okay.
You are absolutely fine.
Thank you.
Yes. I kind of did a little Barbara Walters there on you.
Yeah, so. You did. But I brought all those things, all those resources, the meditation, the energy work, the Reiki, into my life now. It's integrated. So I continue to do those things, and I'm successful because of those lifestyle changes.
That has built a new foundation of who you are, hasn't
it? Yeah,
and what does that give you? You said a combination of – well, first of all, someone was asking the hospital program that you did. What is that?
The partial hospitalization, there is a name for it. It's at Portage Path Behavioral Health in Northeastern Ohio.
Okay. And
there isn't.
Someone else was asking about the diet. Is that an actual diet type?
Well, yes. So, yeah, if you were to Google over-lacto-pescatarian, you'd actually find.
Wow.
You know, yeah, I know, right?
It's, okay. Yeah. All right, that's fine.
Yeah, yeah.
All right. And so tell me what the routine is that you do on a daily basis now.
Well, so my energy chiefly right now is focused 6 days a week on training. I'm doing in the morning, up early, bang a green smoothie, doing high-intensity sprint intervals, either on a spinning bike or running or something like that. A couple hours doing whatever I need to do around the house, then about 90 minutes of weight training in the gym. Advancing my career as a spokesperson means that I travel a lot. I do a lot of endorsements using social media, not just for Warrior Force, but also for Gaiam TV, for example. I'm a brand ambassador for them. So, and then functional movement training in the evening. Now, I have to juggle all that with the fact that I'm still an actor and a model. So at any time, I could get a cast for something or an audition. I kind of have to tweak my schedule a little bit. But the focus of my energy chiefly Monday through Saturday is on the spokes modeling and the training, some speaking events. I just got back from a week-long trip in Northeastern Ohio where I'm from. In that 8-day period of time, I did 21 interviews, 2 meet and greets, a speaking event, and 2 days of filming for a documentary. My story is being featured in a documentary.
So you have energy.
I have more energy than I did when I was a kid.
It's crazy.
Great. Yeah.
What do you do on Sundays?
As little as possible. Possible.
Mm-hmm.
I usually go to the Agape Center in the morning.
Nice.
Big
uh-huh.
fan of uh-huh. Michael Beckwith's community over there. And then, honestly, I do as little as possible, but I have to go to the grocery store, do food prep, or I can't pull off Monday through Saturday.
Uh-huh.
But Sunday is supposed to be a state of being less than a state of doing. So it's a time to rest on my biomat and recover, because Monday through Saturday is a mad dash.
Yes, and you're but you have the energy to do it, which
That's
is
right.
wonderful. And you also have a mission.
I do.
And
you asked me about it, and I didn't really get a chance to. The mission is to pay it forward, Lisa. I believe my story lands in a way that meets people where they are, whether it's because of our relationship with food and with eating, with stress, the transformative power of a plant-based diet and non-GMO foods, hoping to help raise awareness for and prevent childhood obesity, to preserve Mother Earth's precious natural resources by leading a green lifestyle and reducing my carbon footprint. You know, however that lands, my hope is that it's about paying it forward.
That's great. You have several missions covered there.
I hope so.
You could spend a lot of time on just one.
But you could. and advocating for the humane treatment of animals, too, because I was vegan for over 2 years. And although I'm no longer vegan now, I'm still choosing wild-caught fish. I'm still choosing cage-free or free-range eggs and saying, hey, look, we've got a real problem with how we treat animals in this planet and our whole attitude and belief system around that, too.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. And so you're raising consciousness in a big scale.
So.
And how do you plan on getting on the cover of Men's Health magazine?
I'm already on the radar.
Okay,
they
good.
Know about my story.
Great.
So my hope is that as the momentum continues to build and I continue to be successful and shred down to 7% body fat at 210 pounds, I'll have a certain specific look. By then I'll be 44 years old. And look who's reading Men's Health magazine, right? Men in their late 30s, early 40s, mm-hmm. looking to get in or stay in great shape, looking to reverse aging, looking to maybe ward off prostate cancer, looking to make healthier lifestyle decisions. That's my brand. That's who I am. So I believe that what works for me can work for them.
And this
That's
is your,
my angle.
This is your full-time job.
Yeah,
That's
it is
great.
My full-time job.
That's
yeah.
great. All right. So if people want to email you, get a hold of you via social networking.
Website, yeah.
A website's the best way to do that.
You can link up to me through Facebook, Twitter, Google+, YouTube, all through my website.
Okay. So it's getempowered.com and it's IM.
It's actually Get Empowered Now.
I'm sorry.
Yeah. And it is spelled with an I, Get Empowered, like impulse power. Right?
Okay. Good.
And I also have a newsletter and a blog. So if people really want to stay in touch, they can subscribe to that too.
Okay. Well, good luck with your mission.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for being on my show and for spreading the good word.
Thank you, Lisa.
And keep it up and come back with progress.
You got it. Yeah, absolutely. Right. Thanks for being who you are,
Lisa. Oh, you too. Mark Eisenhart.
Eyes
and heart. That's great.
You shine so brightly, so thanks for having me
Thank
on the show.
Thank you. Takes one to know one.
Oh, thanks.
All right. We'll be right back. This is Lisa Garr. You're listening to The Aware Show.